Thank you, Lord. What a song, because it at the same time express our gratitude in humility. We thank God because it is the life that He has given us. At the same time, we also recognize in humility that it is His breath in our lung. And if He required it from us, He could take it anytime. So while we have it, we use it to praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you prepare the hearts of the people so that we are all ready to listen to the Word of God and learn from it. In Jesus' name, everybody that is ready, say hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It is October 2020. It's a new season for all of us. We are going to continue our study after 1 month break, talking about community. Now we are entering into a new preaching series called Games Plan. Games Plan. Let me start by saying this. In the Old Testament, there are three books that are considered books of wisdom. Anybody know what are the three books are? It is Job, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. Those are called book of wisdom because it has a lot of wisdom saying. Now, in New Testament, what do you think is a book of wisdom? Because there is. Usually it is known as an epistle. Epistle means letter. Usually it's categorized as a letter. But if you read the content of the letter, it has a lot of wisdom saying. Anybody know what book that is? The book of James. Correct, the book of James. We've been studying the book of James since the beginning of the year, and we're going to continue. And the book of James is really interesting. A lot of people, researcher, theologian, consider the book of James as the book, the oldest book in New Testament. They're still disputing it, and probably nobody will know, but it is considered one of the earliest books. The other books that are being considered as the earliest is the book of Mark and the First Thessalonian. But James was thought about as written in the year AD 45, not too long, just like a decade or so after Jesus. So we're going to hear what James has to say. And today, the topic of the sermon, I title it Fail-Proof Plan, How to Make Plan in the Age of Uncertainty. So we're talking about planning. James is going to teach us about planning, and I think that this topic is very timely as we are facing unprecedented and uncertain time. How many think that extra wisdom from God is necessary for us to even move forward and make plan? Yes? Absolutely. And all of us, by the way, makes plan. We make small plan, medium-sized plan, big plan. We do make plan. Only insane or foolish person does not make plan just for fun. What was the last plan that you make recently? Small one, maybe what to eat for dinner. Medium one, what you're gonna go? Or where do you gonna go after this period of settle in place is over? I had a plan already. You know, the medium plan. Oh, I wish I can just go to Japan or somewhere, you know, like for vacation. You know, I know that a lot of us are very tired right now, you know, being told to be settled in place. So we start making plan, you know, maybe next year sometime we're going to go here and go there. That is a plan. I myself, thinking also in my head, plan on when we're going to start renovating our new church. Some of you know that our church has just got a use permit, meaning you can use the building as a church, but then obviously we have to do a lot of renovation and we're starting making plan. That's the kind of medium, big plan that I have. And so we're going to learn How to make a fail-proof plan. When you have a plan, usually that there is a goal. You want that goal to be successful. That is why you make a plan. And plan is usually more than just a wish. Plan has a timeline, has a goal, and there is a method of progressing and or moving forward that you are thinking in your head. That is plan. And so let's look at what James tells us about plan. In James chapter 4, let's see, James chapter 4, verse 13. James said, now listen. Now when he said, now listen, that means he wants us to listen. You who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. When I read this, I kind of stopped for a while because I was thinking, how is it possible that James in the first century already know that the internet is going to make it possible for you to go to this city and stay and then, you know, be connected and still work and make money? I mean, how is it that he's able to tell? You know, I have a friend whose daughter is working in the digital design company, and her lifestyle is really interesting. She is employed full-time, yet the way she does her job is she travels to exotic place, Norway, Greek, and live there for a month or two and then move on to the next city, all the while she is holding a full-time job. And she is able to do that and make money because of the internet. So I was wondering, well, James, you know, pretty prophetic there, James, but obviously that is not the case, right? Maybe at the time, just like Apostle Paul, Apostle Paul, how many know that he makes 10 for a living? He makes 10 and then he go to one city to sell it and then move on as part of his missionary journey. He sells 10 to support his living. But anyway, James says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? This is like an old English. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while, then vanishes. Now you read these two verses and stop there, you will think, is James suggesting that you are not to make plan after all because you are not sure whether tomorrow is there or not? And so will it not be a waste if you make plan and turns out you don't even have time? And he's saying that time is short. You will end up with just like anybody else. You'll die eventually. There's only one eventuality for all human being, which is death. If you already know that eventually you'll die, you know, what's good is what the difference makes between one plan versus another, because you are going to end up dead. And you may not have time enough to implement your plan. But a good thing is James is not that kind of nihilistic, we call it like hopeless thinker. He continued in verse 15. He said this, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this and do that. What he is actually saying here is really important for us Christian and actually for anybody to make fail-proof plan. If you do not want to have a plan that fail, James said, the most important formula to include in your plan making is this. To include God's will in it. James is saying, include God in your plan making. Align your plan with God's plan. You will have a better success in your plan if the plan is in line with God's will. How many get this? He's saying that God wants, he seems to be saying that, you know, and if you believe that James is inspired by God when he wrote this, you will interpret it this way. God has a desire to be included in your plan making. And this is one guaranteed success, that if you include God and His will is His heart, what He wants to do, His purpose. Your plan is fail-proof, meaning impossible to fail, if it is the Lord's will. That is why that phrase, if it is the Lord's will, it is very important for us to pay attention to. Now, the next question to me is this. Why is God wants to be included in our plan making? Is He afraid of being left out? Is God has a FOMO problem, you know, FOMO, fear of losing out or missing out? No, God is not having a FOMO. Then why does He wants to be included in our plan and our plan making? I'm going to give you two reasons. The first one, it is because of His love. His love. Because of His love. If you love someone, you want to get involved, isn't it? If you love someone, you want to know more about that person and you want to be involved in the daily living activities, thoughts, process, sharing with that person. And that is a very natural expression of love. You want to be with that person. And God loves us. And Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14 says this: you were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believe, you were marked in Him with a seal, which is the promise of the Holy Spirit. God, the Word of God says, included us in His plan. Or salvation. He included us. When we believe, we are marked to be with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, where is Holy Spirit today? Holy Spirit is right there in your life. He is accessible to you. He is walking with you. He is be with you. He is with you. Why? He wants to get involved. Because of His love. He loved us and He wants to be with us. That is who He is. He loves us. He wants to get involved in our personal life. Love requires involvement. That is the nature of love. And it is not surprising that one of the titles of Jesus, when Jesus was born and his birth was announced by the angel to Mary, this is something that you can find in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. It says, behold, a virgin shall be with a child and shall bring forth a son, this virgin, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which being translated is God with us. That is the name of Jesus, Emmanuel. Emmanuel is Hebrew word, actually. Matthew quote from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Emmanuel is God with us. In other words, God wants to be with us, wants to be involved with us because of His love. He wants to be knowing all our plan. So that is why God wants to be a part of your plan because of His love. Because of His love, He wants to be with us. How many understand this so far? That's the first reason. The second reason is this: because God has an unselfish will. That's why James quote, if it is the Lord's will, what it means is God has a will which is very unselfish. The Word of God says this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ to do good works. To do good works, that is a good will, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let's just kind of analyze the phrase a little bit. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus. So when we believe in Jesus, when we put our life in our faith in Jesus, we are created anew. We are a new creation. How many understand that? We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. That happened when you and I believe in Jesus, put our trust in Him. That is our new life. So this new life was created, the Bible says, to do good works. There is a purpose for our life in Jesus. When you are saved, you are just not saved to wait for the day that you die. You are saved because there is a work for you waiting that was prepared in advance by God for us. What a wonderful thing that we are not being saved just to be lazy. That we are saved because we have good works. Now the next question comes, what is good work? What is God's definition of good work? For that we look at the Matthew chapter 5 verse 16, because it explained to us the word good work. Matthew 5:16 says this, let your light shine before men. In such a way that they may see your good works. Now the next phrase comes, the definition of what good works is. And glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let me say this slowly. Good works are the works that are good. Works that are good, but then done for God's glory. Anything that is good in God's eye and bring glory to Him, that is good work. They are good because they honor God. If you honor God with what you're doing and you love people because of what you are doing, that is good work in God's book. They are done, works done for God's glory, by God's strength, because God commanded it. So in our planning, we have to consider what is good works, because that must be God's will for us. We need to align our action and motivation to God's standard and the definition of God's work or good work. This process is very necessary as we make plan. Let me give you an example, practical example, what I consider as good works. When I work as a computer consultant, I strive to be excellent and show integrity in my work. Why? Because I believe that whatever I do it for the Lord and not only for men. And when you do that and you show excellent work, when you show that you work with the heart of integrity, diligent, that is good work. That is good work that bring honor to Jesus. That is the kind of things that you should plan. You should measure your plan with that kind of attitude. Another example is when I share where I share my faith in Christ to other people. And then that person, whoever that I share it to, find a reason and purpose for their life. That is bringing honor to the name of the Father. That is good work, sharing love, so that people will come to know Jesus. If you are God's children and He is with you, would it be unreasonable to plan this life together with Him? Will it be not unreasonable to include God in your planning? Because He loves you and because He has a good will for all of us. In light of these two reasons that I just stated forward, would it be, what is our attitude needs to be in response to the desire of God to be involved in our lives, in our plan? How should we respond to the call that God put out today through the Word of God so that we align our plan with His will? Let me share three things for you. The first one, we go back to James chapter 4:15. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord's will, we will live and do this and that. Number one, I think our heart attitude and response should be this. We should be honoring God's will. Why? Because of our love for Jesus. If you love Jesus, then you will honor His will, because His will expresses His heart that is full of love. When we honor God's will, we are responding to His love. In front of my children, I always say this. Listen to what Mama said. What it means is this. Mama has a will in her heart. If you listen and obey, you are honoring Mama. Right? It's the same thing with God. If we love God and listen to His word and His commandment and His will, you are seeking His heart, you are honoring Him, and that is loving Him. Honor God's will. That's the first one that I will say to all of us. Learn to put God's will as front and center in all your decision making and planning. Honor Him. Honor His will. Number two, putting our faith that God will give us the best. Some of us are afraid to include God in our planning because you are afraid that God is going to send you to Africa, to a very poor place where you do not have you cannot eat bakmi or being very hot and all that suffering. But let me tell you, God will prepare you even if He wants to send you there. And you will be strong and you will be joyful knowing that you are fulfilling the will of God. Do not be afraid that to know that God will give you the best. Even when you rebel, if you trust Him, He will still bless you. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says this. You know, this is even when the Israelite has left Him, left God and worshiped foreign God, and because of that, they got the consequence of being conquered by the Babylonian Empire. And then the Babylonian people brought all the Israelites people to live in their cities, and they will become exile. And even in the exile, God, through Jeremiah, His prophet, says this to the people of God. It says this, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." Listen, this is what God is judging Himself. God is measuring Himself, His thought. What is the thought of me, God says, toward you? I know the thought that I think toward you, says the Lord. And this is His thought. Thought of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and hope. What a wonderful God that we have. Even after the Israelites rebel and worship other God and not following God's command, God is still faithful to the Israelites. He said, I don't have a thought of evil to you, Israelites. But even after you prove yourself to be unfaithful to me, my thought is clear and pure and loving toward you. Do you know that God is saying the same thing to you? Even after you are being unfaithful to Him, even after you rebel, His heart toward you is all love, not condemnation. He does not have any thoughts in His mind, oh, I'm going to put you at the deepest part of the hell, the hottest part of the hell. No. I know my thoughts toward you is a thought of peace, not evil, to give you future and a hope. That is talking about planning. Future and hope is talking about the planning for your life. God has a good plan. We must put our faith that God knows and gives the best in our future. After all, He is called the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's talking about His view expand throughout all times. He knows what is going to be. He knows our beginning, and He knows the best, and He can give us the best because He knows the end story of our lives. What a wonderful God we have. Tell yourself, I trust in the plan of God. I trust in the plan of God, even when sometimes I messed up. Hallelujah. Even when I messed up, I trust Him because He is a good God. The last one that I want to share with you is that this is the attitude that you need to have. You need to have confidence that everything, good or bad, will work out for our good and God's glory. Because we are called according to God's purpose. If you desire in your heart to follow God and desire to fulfill what God's want, His purpose, you are guaranteed this. All things that you are experiencing right now, good or bad. See, not all things are good, some things are bad. But all things, good or bad, God can turn it around, repackage it, and repurpose it, and make it good. Because His thought towards you is good and joy and peace and prosperity. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says this, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Hallelujah. So this is my encouragement to you at the end, is make plan. The way you make plan that is fail-proof is make plan based on our desire to honor Him in everything that we do. Even in the worst situation when your plan does not fall through, if you desire in your heart to fulfill what God's want for your life, because you are always asking Him, what is God's will? What is God's will for me, Lord? What is Your will? I'm open to You. I trust You. I'm confident that You will give me the best. Trust me and trust the word of God. He will make all things beautiful. At the end of the day, you and I will realize that our lives is not all about us. You will realize that our lives is all about Him, all about Jesus. And when you do this, when you realize that the plan that you make turns out it's not all about you. It's all about God, for His glory, for His honor. And when we have that confidence, praise God, God will bless our lives. He will strengthen us. He will be with us always. Praise God. Hallelujah. That is the final slide, which is just giving you the summary. Our attitudes that we need to learn in our lives, honoring God's will, putting our faith that God knows and gives the best, and having confidence that everything will work out for our good and for God's glory as we are called according to God's purpose. Hallelujah. Today is the time that we will together have our Holy Communion. Why don't you go and take your Holy Communion kit, or whatever that you have prepared. We have our Holy Communion together. Let's take out the bread from the kit.